Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. It is a Monday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. It's their Jersey Mike's Month of Giving. Over 200 charities. You can visit a local store to help or go to jerseymikes.com. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. All right. Good to have you in today. Joy moved Saturday. I'm moving today. It's fine. We're all good. You know, whatever. My dogs are utterly confused. I don't know where they're at. I called my wife. They don't know what they're doing. Dad, come home. We're lost. Where are we? We don't know any of the dogs in the neighborhood. They're all. I bought the home for the dogs because it had a great backyard and a great front yard. And they can run around.
Oh, they love that.
Yeah, they just right now it's it's like when you move into a new neighborhood the first day, you don't know where the dry cleaners is at. You don't, and I'm a human, and I get all rattled.
You gotta get your bearings.
Can imagine the dogs can't get their bearings. That's of course the voice of Joy Taylor, and here we go on a Monday. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong.
Where Colin was right,
we predicted Cam Newton, New England would run him back, and why not? There's a lot of quarterbacks in the market. None of them for $14 million for 1 year. Listen, they have an excellent O-line. Every quarterback's better in their second year with the team. Their running backs are more than solid enough, and we know their defense, guys opting back in, will be good. They feel like a 9-7, 10-6 team. And again, let's be fair about this. Cam got COVID in the middle of the season, so he missed games. Then he came back. He was awful. But in the last 9 games, he won 5 of them, lost 4, had a 90 passer rating, had 12 total touchdowns, and had a 66 completion percentage. So this idea, and for the record, working with New England's awful skill people. So I it was so funny listening to Boston people complain about it the whole weekend. Go to his last 9 games. What else is on the market? 1 year, $14 million. You could get another quarterback for that. You could literally go get Sam Darnold for that. I don't know. I think it's an obvious move. We predicted it. It happened.
Where Colin was wrong.
But I didn't think Aaron Jones and the Green Bay Packers would agree to a contract. First of all, he was overlooked out of high school. He was overlooked in college. He was overlooked in the draft. I figured he would be like, I'm tired of being overlooked. Give me the money. But a smart move by Aaron Jones. This is why I like him. He took a little bit less money than the market, and he ends up on a great team, right? This team has been to the NFC Championship. He's also got Aaron Rodgers behind him. He's also got Green Bay's always done a really good job drafting and developing offensive lines. This is a smart player. This is a smart player that's like, listen, it's great for my brand, and he's got a couple big charities. I'm a Packer. I have a really good offensive line. I have a veteran quarterback that can audible me out of trouble, and if I swing out of the backfield, he can hit me. This is what smart players do. It's your money, not mine. But if I'm a running back, the first thing I want to know about is my own line and my quarterback. And I should have seen that. And Aaron Jones, Packers, good for you. It's a great combo. They're good together.
Where Colin was right.
Tom Brady. A lot of guys say they're about winning. Tom Brady's about winning. He restructured his deal again. He'll be a $9 million cap hit next year, which is 20th among quarterbacks for easily the greatest quarterback of all time. He's always been willing to push money down the road. And it's interesting, as Tampa is able to, because of Tom's $9 million, re-sign everybody. Lavonte Davis, Shaq Barrett, and they can re-sign everybody. Other teams can't. It looks like the NFC, Saints are having to peel off people. We'll find out what Seattle does. They've already peeled off Carlos Dunlap, but it looks like Tampa's even better.
Where Colin was wrong.
Dak finally did sign a monstrous long-term deal with Dallas. I don't know why Jerry Jones would wait for 2 years and then give Dak everything. Good for Dak, but he got everything. He got the years. You can't franchise tag him. He's got a no-trade clause. Couldn't you have done that a year and a half ago? But I was to the point where franchise tag him, even for Dak's sake, take the $37 million and go back to the market. Every year, we need like 7-8 quarterbacks. He'd be the number one quarterback on the market. But they went long-term. They waited to the last moment, and Dak won easily.
where Colin was right.
Trey Lance is my number two quarterback in the draft. There's five first-round quarterbacks. Three are not going to work. Just, you know, it's not going to be a 5 for 5. Trey Lance is my number two after Trevor Lawrence. And after his workout Friday, scouts are now saying, wow, we see Josh Allen at Buffalo. He calls all the protections for his college team. That is not the way it works. He's thrown one career interception. And I know I'm just watching the guy in his shorts. And I know I have that grainy YouTube video. But I've never thought seeing talent is hard. And physically, big, strong, accurate. And now the scouts are saying the same thing. It was a wow workout by Trey Lance.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, about 5-6 weeks ago, I said the Miami Heat were a one-year bubble wonder. And since then, they've caught fire. They're now a 4 seed. And I always loved Eric Spoelstra. I think he's a top 2 or 3 coach in the NBA. But I kind of thought, you know, last year it was a little bit of a bubble thing. But now they're red hot, hottest team in the NBA since I called him that. A lot of it's Jimmy Butler. Listen, when they don't have Jimmy Butler, they're just not the same team defensively. When Jimmy Butler plays, since he returned in January from an injury, they're number one in defensive rating. They're 4-10 this year when Jimmy Butler doesn't play. So, you know, we talk about valuable. Jimmy Butler, outside of LeBron, maybe the most valuable player in the league on both ends of the floor. James Harden may be more talented, but James Harden isn't as valuable because he doesn't play on one end. When Butler plays, Miami wins. When he doesn't, they're not only don't have their best score, they're not the same team defensively.
Where Colin was right.
The Kansas City dynasty. Slow down. Last 6 weeks, blown out in the Super Bowl. Now they got to replace both their tackles. Good luck doing that in the draft. We always said, these dynasties, if they ever occur, never last as long as you think. And people forget, in the history of the NFL, there's only been 5 dynasties. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Dallas, and New England. That's it. The media loves Kansas City, and they should. New England's academic... they were the opposite of a fireworks show. I mean, let's be honest. New England was a lot like Alabama, sort of a drab dynasty, and Kansas City's all sorts of fireworks and fun and flash and speed and a big arm quarterback. But these things are hard, and Kansas City now, a little headache.
Where Colin was wrong.
What in God's name is happening with Carmelo Anthony? He is suddenly shooting 92% at the free throw line in the last 6 games. 40% from 3 and 50% from the field. So C.J. McCollum's been out for a while. And then Nurkic, the center, is out. So it's essentially Dame and Melo. And we all know Dame's great. But Carmelo Anthony is having a resurgence. The best in the last 6 games, the best he's ever shot free throws, the best he's ever shot three-pointers, and as good as he's ever shot field goals. So it's Dame, Melo, and a bunch of kids. And where is Portland right now as a seed? 5th seed. Good for Portland.
Where Colin was right.
Joel Embiid got hurt over the weekend. I like him. I think he's a great player. But I've said, when a big guy gets hurt early, watch out. He's only played in 46% of his games since he was drafted. And now, thankfully, he's only out for 2 to 3 weeks. But this is what, the 4th, 5th, or 6th injury where Embiid will have to miss significant time. He's never played more than 64 games. He is no question. He is a remarkable talent. He's funny on social. He's got leadership qualities. But folks, it doesn't matter who it is. When you're a big and you get hurt early, you get hurt often. And that's why I've said, if I had to move Simmons or Embiid, I'd probably move Embiid, even though he's a much better player than Simmons.
Where Colin was right.
Never been into this one-and-done thing in college basketball, and Kentucky had their worst year since 1927. John Calipari has been there 11 years, one title, and only 4 Final Fours, despite the fact they've had 29 first-round picks, far more than anybody else in college basketball. And the problem with the one-and-done, you're having to reboot chemistry. You bring in 4 or 5 new starters. You got 35 games in a season. The first 12, they're lost. The next 12, they start to gel. And the next 12, they're looking at the NBA because they're so damn talented. I love that college basketball has given the Gonzagas and the Villanovas, and those aren't mid-majors, don't get me wrong. They're good programs. But it just shows John Calipari was the celebrity of college basketball like 4 years ago. They're not recruiting at the same level. They're not winning at the same level. 29 first-round guys. They're not in the tournament. One and done to me is a lot of flash, One title, 11 years. Right now, by the way, right now this morning, Gonzaga last 5 years, better program than Kentucky. They are. They're a better program. More consistency, putting a ton of guys in the NBA, winning their conference. So there you go. Tournament. So this year it starts Friday. Well, I mean, Thursday they do some play-in games. But Friday is when it gets cooking. So there are going to be some upsets. There's always a 12 beats a 5 every year. We know that. In fact, it happens twice. But 9 of the last 12 years in the tournament, a number one has won it. So you can rinse and repeat, yell at the committee, but the team that we argue that should be in never wins. It's funny. I was talking to a friend who's a Michigan State Spartan. All year he complains about how crappy his team is. They got blown out 9 times. And then he's yelling at the TV, "We better get in. We will be robbed. Didn't you tell us all year how much you hated your team?" People bag on their team all year. It's, "I can't believe we were left out." You're blown out a dozen times. What do you want?
If you're concerned about being left out, there's probably a chance that you might not
there's
have.
There's a reason you're called a bubble
you're
team.
You're not supposed to be
on
in.
The bubble.
I'm just really happy that they're having a tournament.
So am I.
We weren't really sure how this was all going to play out with college sports, but everyone's done an amazing job, and I'm excited for all those kids.
Well, and also, college sports, it's never been as smooth as pro sports, because in pro sports, you have a billionaire that can write a $25 million check.
It's logistically not the same sport.
Yeah, like, when we come to Fox, the Murdoch family has got us getting tested every day. They can write a big check. If I own this company, I'd be like, you look like you don't have COVID. Go ahead, go to work. I mean, at college, you're asking colleges to put $10 million into testing.
That's what I'm saying. It's logistically not the same sport. It's not run the same. There's more schools. Everyone has different budgets. There's no way to regulate it like that. But yeah. I'm really happy that they're having this tournament.
So am I. Jonathan Vilma, former Saint, played with Drew Brees, coming up next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday, the best season ever continues on Fox as NASCAR Cup Series rolls into Atlanta, where every turn is its own test. You can catch all the action for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at 3 Eastern on Fox and anywhere on the Fox Sports app.
Hey, Joy, we got a signing.
We do.
Okay, Joy's got a signing. Let's do a big fancy sound effect here. Yeah. Yeah, all right. Who'd the Patriots get?
They signed former Titans tight end Jonnu Smith. 4 years, $50 million, $31.25 million fully guaranteed.
Okay, so that's the most Belichick has ever paid for a pass catcher, first of all. Second of all, they can't draft tight ends and wide receivers, so they did it. I know Gronk. This is a really good signing. He has a little bit of Aaron Hernandez where he does running back. He can be a wide receiver. He can be an H-back. He can be a tight end. Belichick, Aaron Hernandez was the perfect player for Belichick. He could move him all over the field.
I love the signing for them.
This is a great signing. What they're telling you is with our 15th pick, we're probably not going to be able to move up and get Kyle Pitts, who's the best tight end prospect I think I've ever seen in my life. And so they went, listen, the last offensive skill person they drafted that made a Pro Bowl was Gronk. So they have struggled in this space. This is Jonnu Smith is a very good offensive player. He's a chess piece. Big, stronger than Aaron Hernandez, the late Aaron Hernandez. But similarly, you can move him all over the field. He can do a multitude of things. And by the way, 4 years, $50 million, 31's guaranteed, so it's not much of a cap hit. This is the way to do it. Like now,
this was a smart move.
Okay, so now Cam's got a really good offensive line. Cam's got very solid running backs. Cam's got an elite tight end. So see, now try to land a decent receiver in the draft or two. But, you know, this is why you get Cam. Like, defensive guys. You know, Cam's not my favorite, but 1 year, $14 million for Cam, I could still draft a quarterback.
It's so reasonable.
It's incredible.
I don't understand what the pushback is.
Yeah, but all weekend, I watched the Boston stuff. I was almost, like, laughing. I'm like, you guys, what is the market offering you? There's nothing else. Sam Darnold's it. But A, questions. B, Jets aren't giving
you... That's never happening. It's never happening. They're in division. It's never happening.
So what? Everybody's complaining about stuff. What's the option?
That's what complainers do.
That's right.
They bring problems, not solutions.
Not this show. This show is... I am known in my neighborhood, my new neighborhood, as Mr. Optimism. All right, Jonathan Vilma, Fox Sports NFL analyst, is now joining us live. 10 years, Super Bowl champ, multiple Pro Bowls, 6 years with the Saints. So when you first go to New Orleans and you played with Drew for 6 years, you hear about Drew, you hear about Drew, you hear about a lot of guys. And then you're in the locker room with it. What was your first impression, Jonathan, of Drew Brees?
My first impression was, he was kind of a dork, to be quite honest. I was like, he's like, hey, I get there. And he's like, hey, great to meet you, et cetera. And I remember playing against him when I was with the Jets and he was with the Chargers. We played a couple times against each other. And, you know, I couldn't make heads or tails of if he's trying to be a cool guy, if this is how he is, or, you know, what's the deal with him? And, after we, start having mini camps and then we go into training camp, and then I realized like he is the real deal, man. He was awesome. The real deal.
Yeah. Was it commitment? Was it verbal? Was it just, certain guy, Jonathan, there may be four guys in a locker room that are leaders. Now that the locker room can have all sorts of talent. What was it about his leadership?
He was, when you talk about the process, diving into the process, fall in love with the process, he's always the first person I think of. He was the shining example of falling in love with the process. You know, a great story I have is when talking about mini camp and training camp, when we would do our walkthroughs, we would have the walkthrough and all five receivers would go out on the route. He would throw it to one receiver. Let's say it was Marcus Colson. And then he would literally go and envision himself throwing to the other four receivers, and not just like, all right, a slow little throw. It was as if he still had the ball and that was the first read, and he would move his feet. He'd get his shoulder square. He'd throw the ball, elbow up, everything. And he did this every day for 6 years. I was there for 6 years, and I know he still did it when I wasn't there. And it was, when I say I couldn't believe it. And then you talk about the process of being there, the first one there all the time. And, the way that he approached the game, never got too high on the highs, never too low on the lows. It was always about the process, falling in love with the process. And he was that guy, man, a shining example of it.
Yeah. We were talking about free agency and the seven biggest contracts in the last few years, none of them have hit. And I always said, I don't love the messaging for free agency that I'm going to bring a guy into my locker room and pay him more than 95% of my locker room. What am I telling my current players? And I wouldn't, if Fox did that and brought somebody in, I would ask the same question. In your career in the NFL, did you ever sense that where it's like, man, you won't pay this guy, but you're paying a guy from another team? Does it sometimes rub guys the wrong way?
It rubs guys the wrong way when you don't know the other intangibles of that player. If you have a great leader in the locker room, and I think this is the part that's always missed or the disconnect between front office and, players and coaches, you can have a guy that he may not be the top player at his position, but what he does for the rookies, how he keeps everyone in check, the intangibles, the value that he has as a leader, that's what the guys start to question, because you're not just taking away a good player. He's obviously good because he's in the NFL. You're removing that leader. And now you're bringing a big money guy, and we question as players, okay, what is he going to bring to the table besides the athleticism, right? You can say, okay, he's making plays, that's great, but if he's a headache, if he's always late, if he doesn't practice hard, if we have to sit here and constantly baby him to get out there and play, it's like you should have just thrown that money back at the guy we had previously. And fortunately, with the Saints, I never had a scenario like that. We drafted well. We did well in free agency. Didn't have to let go of, a really solid guy to bring in someone that was a headache. So, that didn't happen. But I can imagine being with guys that you had a relationship with them and you know what they bring to the table as far as leadership, and then all of a sudden they're gone because of the money, and then now you bring in someone else, and it's like you thought you did better and you really didn't, because all the other things off the field are a headache for us.
You know, it's funny. Russell Wilson in Seattle, there's a lot of rumors. And Joy and I, our takeaway is, listen, Brady and Belichick never went to dinner once in 20 years. Get over it. Who says you have to love your boss? I mean, I'm sorry, but Pete and Russ are good for each other. I mean, let's be honest, Jonathan, you didn't probably love every defensive coordinator. I mean, there's tension in locker rooms between players and coaches all the time, isn't there?
Of course. And that's what I love about football, because it teaches you, and it's similar to the game of life. You don't have to love everybody in this whole kumbaya. Everyone thinks it's like kumbaya every day in the locker room for teams that are winning. No, man, of course. You have issues. You have problems. Like when we won the Super Bowl, I remember on our run to the Super Bowl, we had multiple fights in the locker room. I'm talking like no joke, multiple fights in the locker room. And you know what? You squabble it out, and you know, things happen, and then you move on, right? Because that's what a family does. Like a real family is not always sitting there, everything's on the up and up and it's all good. Real families, they have issues, they have squabbles, they have beefs, they figure it out, they talk through it, sometimes they fight through it, but at the end of the day, they don't let it affect the main goal. And so when you look at Wilson and Pete Carroll, yeah, okay, they don't like each other. So what? Like you said, who cares? They figure out a way to win. They won a ton of games together. Russell Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Pete Carroll, one of the best coaches in the game. They found a way to make it work. And really, the only people making it worse are us, right? The media. We're the ones still talking about it because we're not in that locker room understanding those dynamics.
Hey, what does, circling back to New Orleans, Jameis is very productive passer. Taysom is a very quirky natural athlete, although to me he doesn't feel like a 16-17 game franchise guy. If you had to guess today, who's their starter next year?
Jameis.
That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. No, Taysom, I watched Taysom. So what always happens with new quarterbacks, 4 or 5 games, they have a lot of success, and then you'll see them kind of, I don't want to say falter, but they kind of just don't have as much production. And all you need is, as a defensive coordinator, coaches, players on the defensive side, you need time to watch film on them.
Right.
And then now you can start to break them down, and now you gain their tendencies. And now you know, okay, Taysom Hill, 3rd and short, it's a sweep. Sweep left, sweep right. We already know this, right? We already know 1st or 2nd down, if he's going to pass, it's going to be either a deep ball or it's going to be to the outside, right? So when you start to learn these little tendencies of the players, now you can start to really game plan for them. And so that's when I look at the longevity of Taysom Hill. You can game plan for him after about 5 or 6 games, and it's going to be the same stuff, and it's going to be real easy. The problem is really Kamara and Michael Thomas. So when I look at Jameis Winston, I've seen him have success. He threw for 5,000 yards. Yes, he led the NFL in interceptions, but he still threw for 5,000 yards, and that's after everyone has seen film after film, tape after tape of what he can and can't do. So if you look at the quarterbacks that Sean Payton has had in his career, and I know we look at him and Drew Brees a lot, and Drew Brees did throw interceptions at times, I would find it very, very hard to fathom Jameis Winston going out there and throwing as many interceptions as he did with the Bucs. And I'm looking and saying, cut that in half. Let's get him down to, instead of 30 interceptions, 15 interceptions,
right,
with 5,000 yards. That's a damn good season.
Yeah.
That's a really good season.
Right. Yeah, that's my takeaway exactly on him. If a guy is productive, I can figure out, I can take away some mistakes, but I can't take a 3,000-yard thrower to a 5,000-yard thrower, but I can take 30 picks to 17 by just implementing a system where there's less risk in the passing game. Jonathan Vilma, great seeing you. Thanks for coming on today, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Best wishes. Thanks again, man.
Thanks as always, Colin.
You bet. Save big on your water and energy bills. Navien tankless water heater, instant and endless hot water, spa-like comfort. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com. It's called Navien. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I can't teach ceiling, but I can raise your floor. But I can't teach ceiling. So if you got a big ceiling, I'll take it, and worry about the flaws.
Well, we've seen Jameis be extremely productive. That's why he wanted to go to the Saints. Get in a system that's going to simmer down a little bit.
Lost some weight.
We don't need the highs and lows. That's not what you do with the quarterback position, and you're potentially going to quarterback school with right. Sean Payton and Drew Brees. So I think it's a great situation. I thought that was cute that Jonathan Vilma was coming to us from his dad cave. Did you see his little sign behind him? It said dad cave. That was really cute. So the Bears used their franchise tag on wide receiver Allen Robinson this year, but that does not mean he's a lock to suit up for them next season. Robinson reportedly has zero plans to sign the franchise tag in the near future, and he could hold out if negotiations on a long-term contract do not go well. He's set to make around $18 million this season if he plays on the franchise tag. He had 102 receptions.
He's great.
Over 1,200 yards and 6 touchdowns, and obviously the Bears are looking to make a big swing for Russell Wilson as well.
Yeah, let me tell you something. If he's not on the Bears, Russell Wilson, this job ain't great. He is their go. Do you take
him
out?
He's
their guy. Oh, he's fantastic.
That's why it's kind of strange that they're not, I mean, I guess if they're trying to continue to go after Russell Wilson and figure out what they're going to do with the quarterback,
I just don't think
they want to put him on the franchise tag. But
I don't think Chicago's nearly as attractive as Washington. Washington has 38
for Russell
million.
Russell Wilson?
Yes. I don't even think it's close.
I agree with you. I mean, Washington is in a win-now situation.
And that division's
I like the Bears, but their GM and their coach are on win-now contracts in the last year.
Allen Robinson's not happy. And
their defense isn't as great as it was a few years ago.
No. Wasn't nearly as good. It was good, wasn't nearly as good.
I mean, I get it. It's Chicago. I love Chicago.
So do I.
But there's got to be more. If you're leaving because you're unhappy with football things in Seattle, which it seems that is what Russell Wilson is unhappy with, then why would you go to another situation where you're not sure
there's a lot of chaos.
What the football things are going to be.
Yeah.
Like, Washington is definitely a better situation. So Drew Brees is officially retired from the NFL as of yesterday. 20 seasons in the league, and he made the announcement on Instagram with some help from his kids.
After 15 years in the Saints and 20 years in the NFL,
our dad
is finally going to retire.
So we can spend more time with us.
Yay! I bet they did that on the first take, too.
Nice job.
It was very cute. It was very Drew Brees-like retirement announcement.
Yep.
You always see his family and his wife and kids on the sideline and at all the games, so I'm sure they're very excited. That is something, especially when you have younger kids, when you do retire from the leagues. I know my brother went through this. He really wanted to spend time with them. And it's not that, football is a little more unique in that you're not traveling as much as baseball or basketball or hockey, because you have 16 games, like less games. But, you have the facility all the time and you are missing a lot of things. You rely on your family to, make sure that the kids are going to practice. And I'm sure his wife's going to love having him around to do some of the running around with them. But I'm happy for Drew Brees. He had an incredible, incredible career. First ballot Hall of Famer. It does, and we're showing the game there, the final game as he's talking to Tom Brady. It does make me sad he didn't have one final send-off with Saints fans, because that place is one of the most amazing places to play in the NFL. So it would have been cool for them to be able to, give him an ovation. I'm sure they will next year when all the fans are back.
Isn't that an amazing? Oh God, yeah, they'll have a Drew Brees day.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it will be insane.
It will be. I mean, I've always felt, especially for the past couple years, that he was the better comparison to Tom Brady. Like, we would often do Aaron Rodgers.
And
there's no knock on Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, he's incredible, first ballot Hall of Famer, and it's an amazing player.
But the record book is Brady and Brees. And they're also kind of grinders.
I mean, it's going to take too long for me to even read the records that Drew Brees has. It's obnoxious. And, winning a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl MVP, Walter Payton Man of the Year, NFL Comeback Player of the Year, just an incredible career. So congrats to Drew Brees. So the NCAA tournament will be missing some notable teams this year, as we've been discussing today. Tournament regulars Kentucky, Duke, and Louisville did not make the field of 68 this year. It's the first time since 1976 that all three schools have missed the tournament in the same year. Now, Louisville still has a chance to make it if a team currently in the field fails to make COVID protocol, but obviously that's going to be an outlier situation for them making it. Like, they still didn't actually make the tournament. I'm very excited for the tournament. I love March Madness. And
the first weekend's the best.
It's the best.
Friday, Saturday. Now, this year, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Aren't they doing... They've switched it up a little bit where it starts later and ends
and
later.
And they're all playing in the same place as well, obviously. COVID has changed.
Yeah, the first weekend is by far and away the best.
And I always love that there's one team that makes a run and everyone gets to learn about them and their school and their players. And I'm really excited for Georgetown.
Yeah, because Patrick Ewing, it had not gone great so far, and then they had a great tournament. And then you're like, oh, this is interesting.
I love it. It's exciting. Yeah. Georgetown basketball is legendary, and I'm really excited for the tournament.
You know, Ewing, a superstar, I mean, he's a great player, who in coaching has got that work ethic. Like, Juwan Howard made a lot of money. You could see him going into coaching and be like, I'm not going all this recruiting. But Juwan Howard and Patrick Ewing, if you ask people close to those programs, those guys are grinders. Like, it's like, you know, I mean, it's like, it's very rare where the, you know, Magic Johnson tried coaching. He's like, I'm not interested in this.
Well, coaching is a grind.
Oh, it's brutal. Brutal.
And when you're doing college, you have to recruit. Now, there's, you know, you're dealing with the NBA, you're dealing with superstars. You know, there's different things to each sport.
Most of your great coaches were marginal players. It's very rare when you get the guy with $200 million net worth, Ewing and Juwan Howard, and then... You talk to people and like, oh, they're recruiting nuts.
I mean, it shows the passion they have for the game.
Yeah, it's great. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Still good stuff today. Drew Brees is done. DeMario Davis, former teammate of Drew Brees, stopping by today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
10 years in the NFL, multiple Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl champ, 7 of them with Green Bay, and Greg Jennings, Fox Sports analyst, now joins us live. I was actually encouraged. I thought Aaron Jones got overlooked in high school. He got overlooked in college. He got overlooked in the draft, and I thought, if I was him, I'd just take the money. I'm tired of being overlooked. Were you surprised? I was kind of surprised he signed with Green Bay. Were you?
I really was. I really was. And kudos to him for making the decision that best suited him, not only financially, but as a player, career-wise. He's going to be in a great situation for the next 4 years. One of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. One of the best offenses that we've seen in the last 4 years or so. So, I mean, it's a great situation for Aaron Jones, and I think he made the right business decision in Aaron Rodgers is applauding and saying,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, the free agents, it's really interesting, Greg, because we were talking during the break. You know, a lot of times free agency is overpaying for good players. This year, you got some great players out there, and they won't get good contracts. When you were in the league, were you a fan of free agency, or did you – You know, Green Bay didn't play a lot in it, but sometimes you bring in a big contract, the guys don't like him, nobody knows him, everybody else is like, why are you paying him and not us? Your overall thoughts on free agency, on how to build?
It really depends on where you are. And so for me, being in Green Bay, I wanted to stay in Green Bay, so I didn't want to enter into free agency. But when you have the opportunity and you see the amount of money that's out there and the potential that's out there for a team to grab a player and pay him according to the value that they see that they're getting their worth, then every player wants to possibly experience that free agency market. However, like you alluded to, this year, it's just different. Teams, and I think we got to understand that there's been a couple blueprints that have been established. The New England Patriots established the culture of the blueprint of not paying players and doing it a way that makes them better long term and sustain success because they have cap room. They have their marquee player in their quarterback who came into agreement with that culture and that way of thinking. And then you have players that establish blueprints as well. Tom Brady being out on the forefront, like he's taking less. He's done it his entire career. And I think now a lot of players are looking at him saying, wait, this is how we should all be trying to do it. especially when you've already been paid at least that one time. And I think when we go back to Aaron Jones, it was interesting to see him take less. You know, every agent, free agent, every agent's going to say that their player could have gotten more. But it was interesting for us to see him take less, knowing that this was his first payday.
Yeah, no, it is. The you know, it's funny about this, the free agent stuff. Like, you know, generally good players hit the market. And I said, it's like homes. I've bought some homes in my life, but I'm always cynical. There's got to be something wrong with this home. Why are the owners leaving the home? I always want to know the story. What happened? Tell me what happened. I can't just say, oh, beautiful home, I'll buy it. Same with free agency. Even though I like players, I'm always a little cynical. Why is Kenny Golladay on the market? Why would you let Kenny Golladay go? Why is Will Fuller on the market? Is that healthy? I mean, is that, if you ran a team, is that how you would look at it?
I don't think I would look at it like that. Obviously, every team is financially strapped different with the cap. And when you look at guys like Kenny Golladay, and I've always said this, every player entering into the National Football League in any professional sport is going to be labeled with something that kind of devalues them.
Right.
And so with Kenny Golladay, it's like, can he stay healthy? We know what kind of player he is. When he's on the football field and he's producing, he can go up and attack the ball. He's a huge receiver that gives a quarterback a huge radius and an area to miss. But can he stay healthy? And that's the question. That's what you're hoping you can get out of him, because you know the production is there when he is on the field. But when he's not there, it's like, man, I'm paying this guy and he's never on the football field. So if he can stay healthy, he's one of those guys that, in my opinion, he's a must have.
So Drew Brees' legacy, how many times did you face him? When you faced him, what did you think? What's your takeaway on his career?
I loved everything about Drew Brees. There's things that we can say that we didn't like about a player, decisions or things or comments that was made. But overall, Drew Brees did it the right way. He's always carried himself as the most consummate pro. He was one of those guys that you just looked up to. You always wanted to see what Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints were doing, especially offensively and as a quarterback and as a receiver. You just always were so enthralled and kind of ingratiated with what they did and how they did it and how he led them to it. So Drew Brees, I commend him for the career that he's had, the success that he's had, and I think he's going to be tremendous in his now future in broadcasting on this side. But Drew Brees, man, he all-time great. And I will say this, I have an affinity for Drew Brees, because my first Pro Bowl actually participating in, I got to catch a touchdown pass from Drew Brees. And I just remember that to this day, because I was like, man, I've caught the touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, and now Drew Brees. Like, it was different. It wasn't a regular season game, but it was still Drew Brees.
How old were you back then? 23, 24?
Ooh, I was 26, 27.
How old are you now?
26, 27. I mean, I haven't aged, Colin. I'm 37.
No, you do look good. By the way, if I told you tomorrow, Russell Wilson is now a member of the Washington football team, Ron Rivera got him, because there's a lot of stuff out there, what would your reaction be?
I wouldn't be shocked. I really will not be shocked to see Russell Wilson moved. And this is what I think about when I see Russell Wilson and that Seattle Seahawks relationship and that dynamic. Once you've tried to make things right, you've tried to express what you've wanted, you've seen how others have done it. We all watch, we all observe, and we know what we like, we know what works, and we know what doesn't work. Russell Wilson has been a part of an organization that he knows what success looks like, he knows what success can be, and he's seen it with Tom Brady, with Aaron Rodgers, with so many other of his counterparts across the National Football League, and he's entering the back end. So what's most important to him now is being not only protected, but legacy. Like, he wants to win. He wants to win the right way. And I think, again, like I said, the blueprint to winning at the quarterback position, you have to be confident and comfortable with where you are and take a little bit less so that the team can then be rewarded for what you have done, and you're going to be able to have success regardless.
Yeah. Where there's smoke, there's fire. He's clearly unhappy. Greg Jennings, good seeing you again, bud. Appreciate you stopping by.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Aaron Jones, like Greg said, Aaron didn't take the most money in his first contract. And he's at a position where after this contract, he won't get another one. So that's a big boy grown-up decision by Aaron Jones. He was like, I'm not going to take the most money. I'm not going to get any money after this. Nobody's going to pay a running back from 4 years from now. So in to me, that's why he's known as a great locker room guy. Like, he's not all about the money. Scott Pioli said this, former Patriot guy. He helped build the dynasty. He talked about Tom Brady recently. And he said, people forget this. He was taking pay cuts way before Giselle. And he goes, one of our first big contract deals is Brady turned to Scott Pioli and said, like, how much is enough? Like, at some point, I want to win games. And I'm going to play for a long time. I can keep padding my bank account. But on Sunday, I want to play with good guys. I want good guys around me. And it's paid off for Brady. Like, this is not new for Brady. He's been rebooting his contract long before Giselle Bundchen. And I've said that. Now, LeBron, of course, is one everywhere. But when your wife can be a supermodel, or you can make $40 million to $60 million in clothes, and there's not many of those players, but that's where if I was LeBron, I'd be like, I'd rather play 29 minutes than 38. And that's where I think a superstar athlete has to. Drew Brees took all the money for about 3 years. The Saints were no good. Then he was like, I want a better offensive line. He took less money. Saints were better. Some for the legends who've got $100 million plus, I do get. But for Aaron Jones, that's rare. And I wouldn't have blamed him if he left. Hour 3, Monday, in L.A., it's The Herd.